From Deep Inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome back to part two of How to Write a Debugger Extension. Yeah. Andrew is the master of this. If you've ever seen, back in the day, he wrote some MSDN articles, and he's doing it for us now.
Yeah.
Here live on, well, not live taped.
Live to tape.
Live to tape here
no
on
edits.
Channel 9. We think. Sometimes we edit, but we try to hide it. But anyway, so what are we going to talk about this week?
We're actually making Hello World, and getting Hello World on the screen.
So. Right. So last week we actually kind of made a debugger extension that did nothing.
Yes.
Which loaded and did nothing. And
compiled,
now we're going to make it do something now.
Yeah, so we got to the point where there was 32-bit, 64-bit compiled, and then we associated those with the right debugger so that the DLL had the right bitness
right.
into the right debugger. And yeah, it does nothing.
Does nothing. Well, let's make it do something.
Yeah, so so let's look at last week's thing. Let's familiarize ourselves with how far we got and what assets we have. So DLL project in Visual Studio 2013. There is some very basic header files that gives us the header file for the debugger engine that we're using. We made some hash defines for version number. And then in this file, we made the three entry points required, initialize, notify, and uninitialize, which makes the debugger engine happy to load us as a debugger extension. Mm-hmm. And really the only one that matters is the first one where we have to give us a version number back and major minor from the header file we just saw. And then everything else is just actually no code. associated with that is the exports. So currently, we don't export another function for Hello World, right? So let's jump across to one I've, you know, increased. I've added all the additional code, and I'm going to show it to you rather than trying to type it and do it the hard way. What we're going to do is get Hello World working. So I've prepped these future ones, but here's Hello World. Mm-hmm. It is case sensitive when you run a command. So if you want to support like capital H, capital W, you'd have to export it multiple times and then maybe have one function calling.
Like a pound define thing that's kind of.
Yeah. That. Sometimes I'll map it through.
Map it through to the other one or something.
Yeah. So let's get our Hello World going. So there's our Hello World exported. Our header file for the world is still unchanged, and we'll talk about this in due time. And so what we're going to do is get a new CPP file. So we tend to put all that DLL glue in its own file, and then this is a command one. Personally, I put a command in each separate CPP file because usually there's associated functions to help it do its work, you know, for looping and stuff. Mm. So like Hello World would be in Hello World.cpp. For simplicity, I got them all in the same module today. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing your own scale, I do suggest that you
break up the source
break
files.
It up. Yeah. So there is this contract, if you want to call, function prototype that you have to have for a debugger extension in the dbgeng model, which is the current model. The name of the function is maps to what's in the def file, and this is the command that's going to execute. And you get passed an idebug client and an ANSI string of arguments. So that's what's been typed on the command line. Mm-hmm. It's null terminated by default. You don't need to check it for null because it's going to be passed always with a value. If there's no argument, it's just going to be a blank string. Because mm-hmm. I have the warning level set to warning level 4 and I'm not using it down here, I have to do an unreferenced parameter because I'm not using the args.
Make the compiler happy.
Yep. I like to compile warning level 4. Some of it's annoying, a little bit pedantic, but it does kind of force you into a code style that's much cleaner. Mm-hmm. Everything we do at Microsoft is W4 these days. So what do you do? So idebug client is a COM interface, but it's not COM in the truer sense. There's no co-initialize here to bring up the COM engine. It is an interface in that it derives from iUnknown and has abref, release, query interface, and then for the custom interfaces has all these functions. But it actually isn't COM underneath. It's just using the contract, the idea. As such, this is an important point. It cannot marshal, and it cannot be executed across threads. And what I mean by those two things is, particularly with the thread one, I can't grab this pointer and use it on another thread. So mm-hmm. if you want to defer this to another thing for another reason, you cannot do that. Mm-hmm. And actually, every time you call any function, you'll find it will just come back as unexpected or some error code like that. Same thing goes that if you wanted to marshal it out to DCOM, for example, another process, it doesn't marshal either. It's purely designed for this current thread. I'm probably not going to get to this point where in this series about explaining how to fix that, but if you do need to use another thread, there is one function that you can call, which is create client or debug create, something like that. And it lets you make another idebug client from an idebug client. That new one, even though they are mapped to the same thing, it's like a child or a peer of it, mm-hmm. It's still associated with the same session, still completely usable, but it's usable on the new thread. Uh-huh. Right? So I think it's debug create. So that's the one function you can call, and then you can get an idebug create. No, I do by client on another thread. In the case of Hello World, the functionality to print to the screen is in the idebug control interface. And so we query interface for that, and then we can go and use it. So when you query interface for it, this is standard IR-known functionality. So if you want to wrap this with ATL's CCOM pointer or CCOM QI pointer, which will let you change to a different interface, that's fine. Same thing goes with Windows RT COM pointer, no C on the front, and same thing goes with STL's COM pointer implementation. So ATL, STL, and Windows Runtime Library, if you want to use any of those to wrap it, to worry about addref release, particularly, you know, because this query interface succeeded, addref happened, the count went up by one, and there's the release. Now, even though I have this purely done properly as COM, under the covers, the reference counting actually isn't that accurate. And so it doesn't destroy and create as much as you think it should. Mm. But one day that may change, so I do suggest that you do addref release it appropriately. It's a COM interface or IR9 interface, and you should treat it as such.
Treat it as one.
But if you make a mistake, your machine is not going to crash. All right. So when it comes to output, there's two ways of doing it. There's output and controlled output. Controlled output we'll go through in a different episode. It's all to do with DML and a lot more complex stuff, and we'll get to that over time. Output is the most basic version. Think of it as printf, mm-hmm. right? The only slight difference is that we have one additional thing on the front, so kind of maybe think of that as sprintf. What this does is say what styling we want to see in the console. And so let's just output this right now. We'll compile it, and we'll end up with a command called hello world. This will query interface for it, and then we'll put a breakpoint on here as well. And we'll see how things are going. And so if we look for this extension, which is called my extension, and give me all the commands. Whoops, what's the get the slash E? You can now see that hello world is available. And the reason why it's got this long path here on the front, which is its proper name in the namespace, is that's how we loaded it. We on the command line to WinDBG, we did minus A, then the full path.
Right, and we set that up last week.
Yeah, and so the extension or the command parsing engine is very good at stripping off stuff. So you could go hello world, and we'll hit our breakpoint, we'll let that go, and it will just execute, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the way that it actually works is you'll see if I actually ask the debugger to, this is what this command's for, the xtmatch command is normally to tell you how something's going to get resolved. It will show you what it found for what you typed. And so if you type in help, which is a more common example, you'll see that it finds multiple matches as it goes down. Now, if I said, if I qualify this a bit and go xt.help, you can't do it that way. So, what's a big example? Hello World's a good example. Hello World resolves the whole thing, but it will let me do my ext.dll.helloworld. I should disable that for now. And as much as it will let me do it without the DLL extension as well. And so it has this whole parsing thing, so to bring it down, kind of off the topic, but that's how it works. So we're exported as Hello World, it's resolvable as multiple different names, and then here's it doing its thing. So at the moment, let's get to the breakpoint. You'll see that we are at this line and we're about to do the output. So what does this debug output normal mean? And what we're going to do is I'm going to change this to warning, and hopefully it's going to let me do continue while debugging. Oh, what did I go? Oh, I pressed go in here by accident. I have to rebuild. But let's do warning. So we had normal before, and now we have warning. And so if we do hello world. There's actually now tab completion. They added that in around Windows 8 for commands.
Very nice.
We do a warning, and it comes out as a different color.
Yellow.
And that's what, now, normally you wouldn't get yellow. You'd get black and white. And we went through this in the WinDBG episodes a year ago.
Right.
And how it works is under this view thing, view options, under the, you have to know what to really scroll down for, but when it comes down to, here we are. It's these level ones, normal level. So normal currently is black on white, error is red on white, warning is orange on white.
Yeah.
But both I've got to set as purple. And I actually went through all these and set them.
Set them.
Yeah. And so
ordinarily you would not get these though. You'd have to have gone in and set this up.
Yeah, and it's quite rare that people do it.
Yeah.
And so you can actually cause colorization, right? And so if you look at this enumeration.
It'd be kind of nice if there was a way to just have the debugger automatically set colors like that as a global option or something.
Maybe I should have a conversation with someone.
As a feature request.
Yes. It would make sense, kind of, really.
Just have one checkbox to say turn on default colors or something.
Yeah.
Thinking out loud.
Or a command. Just
Or a command, yeah.
Say dot colors or something and it will turn it on. Yeah. So these are the levels. They matched through to the what you see in WinDBG's options dialog. Normal, error, and warning are the obvious ones. And then verbose. Verbose is turned off by default in the debugger. So under view, always forget where it is. Edit. Do you know where it is? The verbose thing? Here it is. View verbose.
Yeah.
So if you do that, verbose is now on. So if I had sent out verbose before, it wouldn't have drawn with verbose on. It would now draw. All right. And so that's what that toggles. You can do it via command line as well through
Control Alt.
That's two, but you can go out option. And not AV. AL. Out mask. And out so mask. Out mask currently is 7F7. And actually, what this is actually is a. It's actually a bit mask of these bits. And the verbose one is one of those bits. And so if we turn verbose, we toggle verbose, you'll find that the out mask, the one of the bits changed, the 8-bit changed. Right. And that's what that is. It's actually a bit for each of the channels. Mm-hmm. The mask is a collection over all of them. Mm-hmm. When you're actually doing output in your code, then you only get to choose one, right? So that's the official suggested way you should do output.
Okay.
Right? But as we'll talk about before we started shooting, there's caveats. And so you can't do it too often, and you can't do it too big.
Right. Yeah, you're saying there's some bugs or something where if you do this too often, you end up not getting any output at all.
Yeah, so what if I could try. I don't know if it's going to work or not. I should do it this way. I'll see if I can reproduce the bug. If you print to the screen really rapidly, actually that's going to work.
You should initialize that to zero.
Well, since it's going to be, that too. But the other thing is it, so we'll do a CLS, and I don't know, I need to put something that's actually different each time.
Ah, so you can tell.
And so what you'll see is we should see up to 10,000. No, I didn't do it. But if you do it rapid enough, mm-hmm. the screen stops redrawing. Mm-hmm. And you'll do something and then everything will just not line up. There'll be patches on the screen that just aren't right. And we've seen that as we've taped episodes over the years, that it just does that. It's a known issue. It's a won't fix. It's an interaction between the UI thread doing refresh, the RTF control holding the data, and the debugger engine pumping so much RTF into the control that it just causes it to get into this a missed redraw situation. Mm-hmm. Easiest thing to do is go up here, press Control A to select all, and then click off it, it'll force the redraw. Because you've got that highlight over it, it forces the redraw. Scrolling, if you go past a window's worth, it will work. But if you only have 1.5 screens worth, then you can't really scroll. It won't clean what got moved. Control A is the select all is the fastest way to clean it up.
Easy workaround if you're not seeing things on the debugger that you should be.
So, don't do it too fast.
Yeah.
Why you do it too fast? Well, we tend to do things like you may build up an array of information. Like you might go, I found my 12,000 things. Mm-hmm. And then you go spit it to the screen, mm-hmm. Each one with a nice DML link, which we'll go through at some point. And then run through it at the end, right? Well, if you do it too fast, you'll get this thing. My way of approaching this is just ignore it. Just do it fast as you can. And if you happen to hit the redraw glitch, so be it. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the size of it, underneath this is actually bound by printf. And printf actually has a 32K, I think it's 32K limit. Whatever it is, it's in the Ks. Mm-hmm. And so on a particular line, you can't break that. And if you do, you'll just either fail it or truncate it. Either way, it's not good. And so
split that into multiple debug prints.
So I have an example of what I do. I do a lot of things where I generate XML documents from from the data, just pulling data out and hiving data off. Mm-hmm. So I end up with this massive document, which normally I put out to disk and then go and process it later. Mm-hmm. But when I'm debugging it, I want to see it on the screen. Mm-hmm. And so instead of spitting out the XML doc, which could be huge, that's going to fail, so I can't do that. But I need a way of splitting it up nicely. And XML documents actually don't have character turns at the end of a node. So when a slash something ends, mm-hmm. there's no character turn there. So what I do is I find the end of each node and then print out from where I was up to the end of the node, add a character turn to it, and then that way you get the XML document flying down the screen. Well, if you have a big XML document, you will fly down at 10, 20,000 nodes worth and you'll get a redraw issue. So that's the type of situation where I use it. It doesn't necessarily have to be like an array of data or anything like that. It could be string data that you're trying to visualize better. Mm-hmm. Particularly if you're doing something like you're trying to get the tabs right and the distance out and all that type of stuff.
Right.
So so that's printf equivalent. There is another one called control output, which we'll explain another day, which helps you with DML. Mm-hmm. And then next episode, we'll show you the legacy way of doing it, and we're going to do a quick trip into how debugger extensions used to be written. Just so you're aware of it, I'm not saying I want you to use it, but there is lots of examples out there, and I mean lots, that have this single command dprintf. So people use dprintf from the legacy API, mm-hmm. but then use all the new API for everything else.
Right.
And also get expressions, the other one. So there's two old ones hanging around that people really like because they're much shorter.
Easier.
It goes from like these four or five query interface lines and a long output to just dprintf, debugger printf.
Right.
And we'll go through that and how you have to change your project to support that. But that's all next time.
Okay. Well, we'll be back next week to talk about that. That's our show for this week. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes below or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. Have a good week. See you next time.
Have a good week.